last thing that we discussed was the, we're in the middle of discussing the Shitas Rambam and its implications. So what we've seen so far is that, again, the objective difficulty in the Rambam we're aware of. He paskins the formulation of Alonitna Hasra Lahavkam Itchogi Lamezen, and yet he paskins at Chavar Tzara Hasra. Some find this to be just, you know, to be an insoluble, you know, problem. But again, the Ramach and others leave it Pitzarchi, and they just don't understand it. But the Rambam says this at least three times, as we know, and therefore it's not something that we can just neglect. So we discuss the answers of the Magen Mishnah in Nechel Sanhedrin and Kesem Mishnah and Nechel Sisera and Bia, namely that there are two types of hasra. There's a hasra, a halachic hasra, if you will, and a mitzius hasra, and that according to the Rambam, you know, the mitzius part is the only part that applies to chaver. Somebody mentioned to me after this year last time that, like, we do have makoros that imply that there's a mitzius element. Who mentioned that to me? Somebody? After this year last time? No? That, you know, we do have makoros that speak about the mitzius aspect of the hasra. But of course, the point is that the Kiddush, you know, in the Kesem Mishnah, the Magen Mishnah, is not that there's a Metzias component to the Hasra. I mean, did you know the status of what you were doing? Did you know it was Shabbos? Did you know it was Chelev? Did you know that he, you know, wasn't a Trefa? You know, those kind of things. That's obvious that part of the Hasra would also be to define who the person is. But the Kiddush is that for a non Chaver, right, you also have to inform him of the halacha, whereas the in the case of the chaver himself, according to the Kesem Mishnah and Magen Mishnah, that basically, you know, we accept the view of Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda according to the Rambam, you don't. And all you have to provide is the practical part of the hasra, and it doesn't sound that way in the Rambam. Again, you could say, I mean, the Kesem Mishnah and Magen Mishnah knew that too, but because basically what happened here was they were so, you know, convinced that the words Lahavchim and Shogun Mezid associated with Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda have a pragmatic meaning, that they just assume that, you know, if the Rambam is invoking it, he believes in it, and then, you know, it becomes less of a, you know, stretch or contortion or distortion at that point in time to say that, you know, the application to Chaver is just, you know, whatever is left, and it's whatever makes sense, given that, you know, given their halachic knowledge and stature. But in any case, that's what emerges according to the Kesem Mishnah and the Magen Mishnah. And then, I would just point out, since those are two very prominent Mefarshim, and there are more who agree with them, then you just at least come to a certain interesting conclusion, and that is that you can have a very pragmatic, almost a totally pragmatic understanding of Lahavkim and Shogi Lemezid, and again, exempt Chaver from the halachic side of the Hasra, and still require Kabbalah Sasra and Tokhid Dibur and so on. That those are not a Tarta Sasra, which we already know is also the view of some of the Rishonim, but it's certainly a challenging, not the default normal view. The default normal view is the view of the Day in Tosis and Rashi on Ayin Beis and so on and so forth, which is that if you really hold the pragmatic Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda view of Lonitna Asra Lahavkam Shogun Lemezid, that you're not going to be comfortable with these other formal issues as well. According to Kesem Mishnah, Magen Mishnah's reading of the Rambam, that's just not true, because in the continuation, as we know, the Rambam definitely endorses Hitra Atzma Lemisa, Kabbalah Sasra, Hitra Atzma Lemisa, and Tokhid Dibur. Yeah.
Well, this guy, my question, Kesem Mishnah, do argue that the Rambam is passing like the Rabbanan, and that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't even need that aspect of Hasra.
I think that's correct, too.
So, yeah. In which case, they might agree that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda does, like with Rashi and Abayim Beis and...
right, but it's a little bit dochak to say that, only because, I mean, how will they, I'll put it this way, what will they say about Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda, that you don't have to identify for the Chaver that it's a piece of Chelev, or that it's Shabbos?
It sounds that way.
Right, so that is also a little bit, I mean, you're right, I mean, I guess you have to look at very carefully. I think that, you know, not everybody who accepts this view holds that the Rambam is holding like the Rabbanan. I think some of them think that the Rambam really holds like a Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, and this is what Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda really said. But if you do think that there's a machlokas between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, and you take this interpretation, so then you are you're just assuming. So what does the chaver have to do with knowing that it's a day of Shabbos or knowing that it's Kalim? Unless you say that, you know, that extra, like, Shmira, you know, is also part of, you know, the assumption of a Talmud Chacham, which is an interesting, you know, ha'ara. In other words, he is not going to go ahead and do something. He's not going to let himself, in other words, be led astray by the calendar or by not, you know, knowing exactly where a piece of meat came from, etc. That's an interesting perspective. I call it the Shmira perspective. In other words, there has to be a certain, you know, the idea of siyagim and being extra cautious and careful. If you think that that's really the machlokas, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim, so on the Metzius side, do you also have to? Can you also project that this person is doing what he's doing knowingly? And again, remember, if you have to say that, it's particularly fascinating because here's a person who, you know, wants to be an avaria. So the point is, he has the, you know, kind of mentality of a chaver, which includes not only his theoretical knowledge, but even, you know, his awareness, you know, really of what's what. Even though, you know, spiritually, you know, religiously, obviously in this particular case, we don't consider him. You know, it's not, that's to say about a Talmud Chacham who's behaving like a Talmud Chacham, or a Chaver who's behaving like a Chaver, that, you know, he also, you know, must know what this food is, because otherwise he wouldn't eat it. He must know that, you know, what day of the week it is, because he wouldn't allow himself to be put in that situation. So in his, you know, religious, you know, spiritual credentials are up to par, to say that is one thing. You know, to say that when we're talking about the fact that he doesn't eat Hasra and he's an Avarian and he should get Malkus or Misa or whatever is quite something else. So, like, that's in the DNA of, meaning somebody who has that, you know, past or credentials. So he knows and he's doing it. So either way, all I'm trying to say is that once you take the view of the Kesef Mishnah and Magid Mishnah, basically, I thank Robbie for bringing it up more because it just highlights it further. Two things happen. Number one, again, if you take the view that according to the Rambam, you know, this is Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and of course you have to be mechalik between the Metzius and the Halacha. So then the only Kiddush that remains, but it's still a big one, is the one that I mentioned before, that there are still formal dinim of Hasra, and in a certain sense, even though you're giving a pragmatic explanation for Lahavkin Beit Shogeg Lemezid, you still kind of need the idea of being Musra the Omein. If we think, according to those who say, that the Rambam really paskins like the Chachamim, and that he understands that the machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda is on the Metzius parts, so that first Ha'ara is still, of course, true. But the additional ha'ara is, so what the machlokas Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda is on the Metzius part of the Hasra, and that goes to what I just mentioned a couple of minutes ago, the assumption that a chaber, right, really is also, because he's halachically aware, right, that reflects something about his, you know, pragmatic awareness too, and then that gufa is the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and the chaber. It's a very fascinating thing. Yeah, Isaac had a question?
Isn't there an entire point that they're all impossible to do this, even though it sounds like he's
not? I'm saying, I think it's said differently and by different parts. Some of them think that...
Either way, that's the point that they're making. Right, the reason why...
No, the point that they're making is that the interpretation of a Nitna Hasra, Elahavkim, in Shogeg Lemezid, means what you think it means. Namely, it means pragmatically that we just need to know, is he really amazed, you know, or not. That, in other words, the definition of lahavkam in shogeg lemezid doesn't change between Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and the chachamim. It has the same exact meaning, and that meaning is not that, which we'll get to in a second, that it should be mevurar, you know, beli shum safek, you know, lakol. That's not what it means. It means, you know, we have a question mark. Is he mezid? Is he shogeg? And we need to be able to... why we have that question mark? Okay, that's a different question. But we have that question mark, and we need to be able to, you know, to conclude with a measure of conviction right, that he is indeed amazed. So what I'm saying, if you look at the various Nosei Kelim who say this, there are a bunch of them. Some of them say the Rambam paskens like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. And then, as I say, we could say what we just said. Meaning even Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you need Hasra on the Metzias part. And some of them say that Enoch and Ami, the Rambam, does pasken, because they all start off with the question, well, the Rambam paskens like the Chachamim, how come he's quoting the formulation of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda? In some of the cases, they leave it that way. They don't retract that he paskens.
Well, they all explain that he's not talking about what the
I'm saying there. We'll maybe we'll pin down the language, but I'm just saying not all the Nosei Kelim seem to say that. Some of them seem to say that the words are the same, but that the debate is whether or not you need this Metzius Hasra or not.
Who says that you don't need the
Metzius? I thought that was Mashma more. What is it from the Kesa Mishnah here in? In Sanhedrin, but if not, I'll look up.
The biggest thing. Yeah. The Rebbeinu is passing like the Chachamim of Rebbe Zvi Yehuda.
Yeah.
So why does he use the Lashon Hakdim Shogun Reizid? Because he holds that you still need some kind of
right. Okay. The Magen Mishnah. Right. Yeah. In the Kesa Mishnah also it sounds that way, but maybe. So for the Magen Mishnah it sounds like there is a Machlokes Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda and the Chachamim, but you know that doesn't eliminate this formulation because it revolves around. The Metzius part of the question. If that's true, I'm just saying that is a rather remarkable extension of, in this case, the Chiddush is kind of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. And I'm just adding a wrinkle to it. I'm sorry?
Referring from that Magen Mishnah that Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda would not even require the guy to know.
Correct.
There's a tail in front of him.
I think, isn't that what he's pretty clear? No? You have language again?
That's what Magmash says.
He never dials back.
Right, but he didn't.
Right,
not,
but
he's not talking about the Hasra.
He didn't dial back what he said earlier, which is that he passed like the Chachamim.
But that's irrelevant. The Rambam is not talking about the same talk that the Gemara is talking about.
In your opinion, but not.
No, that's what he said. That's what he says. The Gemara is talking about what Yedias HaOnesh.
The Gemara is talking about two things.
Yedias HaIsur.
No, it sounds like he's saying that in Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, there are two elements, and one of those elements is something that the Chachamim agrees on. I think that's how I read it. If not, then he just paskens like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. But you know, he never is chozer from what he said. How's he paskens like the Chachamim then?
Right.
I mean, he does say he starts off by saying the Rambam paskens like the Chachamim, but he uses the language of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. How could he do that? The answer is he's referring to that component of it. But he never. No, I know there's another way to say it, but it doesn't sound like that's the other way that the Magid Mitchell is saying it. Some of the notes that Caleb say it that way. They ask the question, he seems like he's passing like the Chachamim. The answer is no, he's passing like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, and he's zeroing in on this particular point. But in the Kesef, in the Magid Mishnah and the Yisurei Bia, it doesn't sound like he ever dialed that back. In which case, it sounds like there is a machlokas. You can still use this language, even if you paskin against Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, but you have a narrower meaning. Then the question arises, so really, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, even when the guy is amazed, right, we're always assuming that his chavarship includes not only his knowledge of the halacha, but also, you know, he knows exactly what he's doing. That seems to be the implication.
How would that work?
What do you mean, how would it work?
Just, like, knows, like,
no. Not that he knows, you know, mystically. Meaning, the assumption is that somebody who has this, is well-versed in this way, even if he, you know, is somebody who is always going to check or know. He's going to always know when Shabbos is. He's going to know what, you know, he's not going to eat something that he doesn't know. If he's going to do it, it's going to be because he wants to do it, even though he knows. That seems to be the assumption. As I say, maybe it's a Shmira halacha, but that it's related to his, you know, his past and his training rather than to his present. Obviously, right now, that's what I'm trying to point out. That right now, he's flagrantly trying to be an Avarian. So the idea that, you know, he wouldn't do that, just, you know, be suffic. But either he's going to be knowledgeable or he's going to violate as a merit. That seems to be the assumption, if you hold that way. If you don't, if you think that the Magid Mishnah dials back what he said, then you don't have to say this. But it doesn't sound that way to me. Okay. Anyways, the Radvaz, either way, the first Ta'ara, which is that Matatza Lemisa and so on. Yeah, very quickly.
I was just going to say, I think the Mishnayot and Damai talk about Chaver, someone who's makbid not on the halacha of Truman Meiser, but on knowing if this food is Truman Meiser and being motivated to
eat it. Right, I'm just saying.
So the
right.
Notion of a Chaver being someone who's careful about it.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's kind of what I'm, Chaver in terms of Taharos also. Well, I'm just pointing out, that doesn't bother me at all, and I think it's very interesting that, you know, that the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda use the expression Chaber, right, instead of the expression, you know, Talmud Chacham here, because it does have that connotation.
Brishit Rabbah uses Talmud Chacham, though. So.
Who does?
Brishit Rabbah uses Talmud
Chacham. Oh, the one that you were telling me about. Yeah. Oh, which makes sense, actually, because of what we spoke about. Yeah, very good. So, no, 100%, that's definitely part of my my cheshbon in terms of, you know, being Mafshir Samaisros, which is what you're talking about in terms of Demai. Also remember in terms of Tumba V'Tahara, that's the phrase that's generally used, a person who's a chaver. So I think that does work very nicely. I'm just pointing out that he's not acting like a chaver here. That's the whole point. So you might have said, oh, the point is he's in a rebellious state. Something happened to him, whatever. Something snapped in his spiritual equilibrium. So maybe that part of it, of being a chaver, is also lost. The answer is maybe it's in his, he's so entrenched as a chaver that, you know, there's no not lack of knowledge. It's either he's, you know, for some reason in a kind of lahachis state, or, but he's not going to do it misafek mitzias. That's the point. Okay. The Radvaz, as I mentioned, doesn't seem to be going that route. The Radvaz seems to think that there's just, according to the Chachamim, really some sort of chashash rachok that we are choshesh for. And then the Ksos and the Tumim, which is what we were talking about, you know, really zeroes in on this. And again, the Tumim, trying to explain the Rajba and the distinction between, or in general, distinction between chashud al shvua, chashud for purpose of psil shvua, psil edus, right, that's different than onshim. So in the Tumim, at least we have a strong formulation that this is a din in Vitzilo Eda, you know, in guaranteeing that Malkus or Misa that is given, right, is only given after you've eliminated, you know, practically all doubt. In the Ksos, I say, I think it's a little bit, is the Ksos saying, Ksos could be saying one of three things, right? The Ksos is, as we already discussed, wants to solve the formulation of the Rajba. But Agav, right, he has three different formulations. One is, do we want to eliminate his ability to be toein in any kind of, you know, semi-serious fashion, this claim? And if so, why do we care? Is it a din in birur v'havchana, meaning it should be a mevurar mito, you know, mitochatzmo, that this is what's happening here, and why do we care about that? What's that all about? Or is it a din, even in that one line, of tziruf hasra to the ma'isa aveira? Right? That's what he says at one point, that if it's more than tochid edibur, kala ha-hasra. Right? Even though he doesn't really think, and this is the big point, he doesn't really think that there's a serious chashash shema shachach. So these three formulations push him into a very, again, formalistic perspective. You know, we don't even want him to be able to make the claim. Right, there can't be any kind of doubt. It has to be objectively discernible, which is a very nice interpretation of lahavchin, havchana. Or, as I say, this, and I think these are three overlapping things which work together. The only question is, should we just leave the ksos as that's a chiddush shechitcha Torah, which he repeats like four times? It's exeris hakasuv. Maybe it goes back to the tumim. It's exeris hakasuv about onshei Malkus Umbisa, also not so clear. Or is the idea, Or is the idea here that, like I mentioned, that the Rav understood the Rambam, which is that this is not a shiur, it's not a din in on she bezdin per se. It's a din in the level of the avera, or the gavra avarian, both, especially the way that this avera is being done, brazenly, right, transparently. It's being done without any kind of room for being dan lekav schus, or even being choshesh bechashash rachok, that maybe this guy is, you know, bishogeg. That is a hagdara in zadon, you know, and in doing the ma'isa avera. That's how the Rav understood this idea. And I think that works. You can fit that totally into the three things that the Ksos says. I don't know if that's really what he means or not. It doesn't really matter so much. But the need for Hasra to be objectively integrated, temporally even integrated into the Maisa Avera, or for it to be Mavura or Viyadua, or for him not even be able to make a Tainus Rachok, all of these could be a shear in that very halacha. So just as I was saying, rushing towards the end, this could explain if we see, which we do in Tadchuma, in Tazria, I'm not sure if you saw it, I'll get back to it, and some other midrashim, that even in Misa B'dei Shamayim, there's some sort of a notion of Asra'a, even though there are Baruch Shem Zayudev, you know, Kloyos Valev, because it's not about what he knows. It's about the way in which the Avera is being implemented. It's not even about whether he knows, you know, that you're such a Gavra Avarian that you would do it this way. It's, again, it's in the action of the Avera. It's the brazenness of the Maisa Avera. And, of course, this would also be a possible Svara explanation of Kabbalah's Hasra'a and Hitra'atzma L'misa. I mentioned that the Pnei Yoshua, in Ksuvus of Memud Beis in the Puntras Achron, says that these aren't Gzeres HaKosev, they're not formal dinim, very much sharply contrasted with that Maariv Chayis that we saw. So again, it could be one of two things, Misvara. One is he kind of has to sign off on his own, you know, he has to kind of forfeit his life in this process. That's one kind of a Chiddush. Or it could be, again, a shiur in the, how relentless is he, how interested is he in doing this Avera, and, you know, not shying away from being transparent about it. So, like, bring on the Misa. You know, it's worth it to me. That's a Madrega. Instead of saying, oh, that's a necessary requirement for his death, what we're saying is, again, it's a way of doing the Avera. And we'll see more of these things. So the Rambam, when he talks about Hasra, Edom and Hasra, as we noted, Eli pointed out the language of Sefer Mitzvos and Sodei Torah, a few places. Sometimes the Rambam associates, again, he certainly contrasts, put it this way, Edom and Hasra with Anus, and that's or Shogeg, and that isn't really a good contrast. Again, it's not, let me say it clearly, it's not Mukhrach in the Rambam that there's an issue and a problem. It could be that every time he says that you need Edom Mehasra, he means in terms of the implementation of the Onesh. It's just not, if that's the case, it's just not written so carefully. So, since we know the Rambam anyway is Mechudash in the area of Hasra, and we'll see going forward other consistent features of this, so why not really take him in a Meduyak way? And that is that when he mentions Edom Mehasra, you know, as a din in Zadon, he doesn't just mean, you know, as a way of allowing the Onish to take place, he means that it's a shir in the Zadon. When you know there are Edom and you're doing it, and you're also being Makabel Hasra and being Matar Atmo Lemisa and so on, so that is a higher level of Zadon. And that may be exactly what Ram says. So some of the places Ram mentions this, not just with regard to Misa, Misa's Bezdin, but also with regard to Kares. Right? Kares is not implemented by Bezdin, as we know. That should be subject to the Kamishmaya Galia. But again, so is he just throwing it in there because, you know, it's the kind of an Avera, you know, Shishigoso Chatos and Zdono Kares, you know, and with Hasra, Misas Bezdin, maybe, right, with Edom and Hasra? Or is it that, you know, he's also saying that, you know, sometimes Chayvi Krisis itself requires the Aveira to be done in the Chalos way, where there's Hasra. Let's say there's Hasra, Bili Edim, right? So would you be Chayiv Karis in such a case? It's an interesting question. It sounds like the Rambam in some places makes this a requirement, and that would certainly only work if it was part of the Mechayiv, however you are to understand it. Again, it sounds that way, I think, in the Sodiyat Torah, in Sefer Mitzvos, and so on. Good. This would also explain, again, why the Rambam is comfortable with Matratz Melemisa, Tokin Dibur, and so on. Good. Agav, I should mention that there's an interesting discussion in the Rambam, and the Rambam does seem to equate Malkus and Misa. And the Lecha Mishnah already has this, Magen Mishnah, the Kesem Mishnah and the Lecha Mishnah both have this Ahara, namely, is there really a din? Because the Gemara only has Matar Atzma L'Misa, they don't have Matar Atzma L'Malkus. So the Lecha Mishnah says, one second, where is that? Did base... Yeah. So the Lecha Mishnah says here, on Yud-Beis base, Inin Asro Pashut, Masha Kasa Perikah Yivodkim Kibol Asro Hiter Atzma Lemisa Hemitz Betokin De Dibur Al Karcha Adkan Upirush Kibol Olav Asro Pirush Rashi Yodeh Ani Shekain Ani Muzar Shalolasos Mid the Kol Rabbeinu Malkus and Misa here Mashma Desfirle Dehu Adin Malkus To Binat Shiyater Atzmo The Kibol Hasra V'Hein Kasa of the Kaman The Feirush Perik Yud Ches The Tamo Mishum The Malkus B'Moko Misa Obedes. So again, the I believe the Kesem Mishnah also talks about it. One second. Yeah, Masha Kosev v'chayvat aleha misas. Bezdin, Klomar, Shein Tzor Shiyodu Beza Misa, Pasa Kira Banan, second. Umashikot Vitzor Shiyabar Vechule, Kvar Kasafti Besamuch. I'm not finding it, one second. It maybe says it somewhere else. Oh, I see. He said earlier. He wants to extrapolate from the Gemara in Chenim Shasak to Binin Shiatar Atzma L'Misa. Oh, Tanya, Beperek Elo Nisrafim, Hisrubo V'Shasak, Hisrubo V'Hirchin Rosho, in the beginning. Hisrubo V'Hirchin Barosho, Pam Rishono Shnia, right? Masrubo Shlishis, Konsonoso L'Kipa, Alma Ein Malkanoso, Afabish Hirchin Barosho, V'Hu Adin L'Misa, the Malkus B'Moko Misa, Omein. So both the Kesef Mishnah and the Lecha Mishnah equate Malkus and Misa here based on the din of Malkus B'Mako Misa Omedes. So just file that away for now. We're going to get back to that because we want to talk about the sugya of Malkus and Misa, as I mentioned the other day, both in terms of Kamalei Bedraba Mine, in terms of the Dini Hasra, etc. And Lecha Mishnah, of course, is a bigger chiddush, because Lecha Mishnah is saying that all the conditions that the Rama mentioned specifically with regard to Misa are going to automatically apply to Malkus, because Malkus B'Mako Misa Met. So what we're going to see going forward is that even the Mandamara holds that Malkus is not B'Mako Misa Medes. We'll certainly believe that in certain issues we treat Malkus and Misa the same. And even the Mandamara holds that Malka B'Mako Misa Medes is going to agree that in certain issues we distinguish between Malkus and Misa. And the question is going to be the debate whether Malkus B'Mako Misa Medes, what halachos does it specifically determine? So what does that mean by, what do I mean by that? In other words, anything having to do with the irrevocability, of the of the fate of the individual, obviously, there's room to be mechalik between Malkus and Misa. Anything having to do with the fact that we're dealing with corporal punishment, number one, right, and something which is not nitan, right, to undo. I'm not talking about his life, obviously, but we talk about physical punishment, which is a higher level, and something that can't be taken back. You're going to say Misa and Malkus are the same. But where you require a formal status of Misa, in terms of the Chumra Soavera, or the status of the Onesh, that's where you're going to have this Machlok. So the comment of the Lecha Mishnah, which is that there is a notion of Kabbalas Malkus, right, and that all the other dinim too apply automatically because of Misa Bakamals Kusamedes, is assuming that these are dinim that have to do with the formal status of Malkus and Misa. Right? One could have said, no, Hitratzma Lamisa, because, you know, we're talking about taking away his life. That's, you know, final, at least until Tchias HaMeisim, right? And as such, you know, that's a special din that he has to kind of forfeit that or sign on, you know, to that. But not necessarily regarding Malkus. So this is an interesting issue which we'll have to come back to, because it's important for Malkus and Malkus Miso Medes, but whether or not we automatically extend to Malkus or not is also going to help us to isolate certain dinim to see if they're formal dinim reflected by the Chomer HaAveira, whether they're dinim that have to do just with, you know, anything that's not Choser, or they're dinim that have to do with the fact that this is an ultimate error, you know, that we're courting an ultimate error in terms of Misa. So that is important too. Okay. So if we take this perspective, so now we should, in light of this, we'll discuss some of the other pratim as we move through them. But let's talk about some cases for the moment. So we already mentioned that what are the two cases, Yosef, that clearly do not have Hasra, that are exceptions to Hasra?
We got it.
Well, that's not an obvious exception. We'll see whether it's an exception at all. Definitely not Megadev.
Eidzomim,
correct, is one. And the other one? In our sugya, Piers? Shmuley? Mesis, right? Our Gemara is starting off with the background of Mesis and contrasting Mesis to other Chayve Misas. So the point is as follows. If we were to take the view that Hasra is just Lahavchin Ben Shogig, let's assume now there are three perspectives, broadly speaking. Right? One is that Hasra is just to establish the difference between Shogig and Beis, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? And maybe according to the Rambam, according to Kesa Mishnah and Magen Mishnah, there's an element of that remains. So then you would have to be concluding that when it comes to Eid Zomim, let's say, and it comes to Mesis, that we're not so concerned. We're not concerned enough. You have to say one of two things. We're not concerned enough that there is, that he might be Shogeg. Right? Or that when we say there's no Hasra, we don't refer to that aspect of the Hasra. Right? And that is, these are things that we found already. According to the, you know, the Ritva, that, you know, and the Tumim, the Maris Chayas that we already saw quote, right? In Achanami, when it comes to Enim Zomimim, right? There is a form of Hasra. When we say there's no Hasra of Enim Zomimim, it's a little bit misleading. The part about possibly being Poresh, well, that I thought was Lishitaso of the Rama, but anyway, but put it this way. The need to eliminate that he was a Shogeg applies to Enim Zomimim, certainly at least to Enim Zomimim, possibly also to Mesis, as we'll see, as well. Just that there are two dinim, and that's what they were quoting, that maybe the Iyum in Hazama, right, is part of the Hagdara of Lahavchin Shogeg Lemezid, right, even though you don't need the other formal trappings, That's all you don't need in Edom Zomim. But it isn't so pashut. So is it possible that Edom Zomim, you really are chayiv, even b'shogeg? Well, what does shogeg really mean here? Shogeg would mean a kind of omer mutter, right? Because he's not a shogeg. I mean, he, you know, if he's delusional, he's honest, that's something else. But what is he shogeg about? I mean, he thought it was okay to come to court. You know, he wasn't shogeg that he didn't, you know, that he really thought that the people were in Chicago, right? That part is clear. So he's a shogeg about the halacha. I mean, he's like an omer mutter. So is it possible that omer mutter doesn't help in certain circumstances? Is it ever possible? Is it ever true that omer mutter doesn't help? Yonatan?
Ishan Baila, when she thought that Tshuva the Maram.
Marik. So just as an example, right, we have the famous Tshuva the Marik, who says when it comes to Eish HaSish, right, Shazinsa, right, there's no heter of omer mutter. Again, he bases it on his diuk in the Pasuk, Umoala Bo Moal. Instead of a Moal Bashem Moal, we talked about it a lot last year. We talked about Kinyu Stira and other things, right? And Eish HaSish, the Ravid, and so on. So the point is that it's a betrayal of him. So there can be certain situations where, right, the, you know, the halachic ignorance, or ignorance that the halacha prohibits this, is not sufficient. If you apply that, obviously, in any case of macholos asuros, right, isurei bia, you know, which are more revealed halachos, you know, then that's one thing. But, you know, where we're talking about an objective act, you know, of damage or immorality, you know, is there always a heter of omer mutter? That's an interesting question. Maybe there really is no din of shogeg. Oh. Of course, if we take the second view, which is that it isn't about really defining shogeg and mezid, we always know, you know, let's say, or we have sufficient basis to know that he's mezid. It's about implementing onshei bezdin. It's a special gzeras hakasuv, or, you know, part of the hitzilo eda, shofto eda, the hitzilo eda, nakiv tzadik al tarog, right? That our standards were mehapech l'schuso, even in a very far-reaching scenario, that maybe, right? He really was a shogeg. So then, you know, to say that doesn't apply in the case of maces, we'll talk more about maces in just a minute, we'll take Edom Zomim first, it doesn't apply in Hazama, is, you know, very fascinating, very, really mechudash, right? Because, again, you know, it's, you're still going to lose your life in a case if you were in Edom Zomim in a capital case, so we're going to give you the capital punishment. We're really going to give it to you without hasra, unless you say something like, which is what the Arama and others say, right? Ein danim, you know, efshar, mi efshar, meaning Edom Zomim is a case which is constructed in such a way, according to the analysis of the Gemara in Ksuvos, that right, there's just no option. There's never going to be azama if you require hasra. It's either going to be an imbalance in terms of kashazama masos lachiv, right? Or it's going to be a practical question, you know, of being able to implement it or execute it. Since the Torah does say vasisam lo kashazama masos lachiv, so we know in retrospect, reconstruction, that there can be a case of implementing misa, right, without the safeguard of hasra. Okay. It's something which, you know, we can then apply very narrowly, you know, when we're talking about Hazama and considering or weighing other distinctions, that, you know, the Torah apparently allows for this onesh without the usual protections. We know it to be so. We don't extrapolate from it because ain't done in efshar mi efshar, but it's more important to have, the Torah decided, it's more important to have this institution and the full weight of the onesh, right, than it is to comply with the normally extraordinarily compassionate criteria that we apply to implementing Misas Bez. Ain don an efsha mishi efsha. Okay? That would be an approach. And it sounds a little like that in the Rambam. Anybody have the language of the Rambam? In Pirsha Mishnayas. We'll get to the other Rambam. It doesn't sound that way. What does that unpaid tests? What does the Rambam say in Pirsha Mishnayas? He says there are two exceptions to the requirement of Hasra. One is Mesis and one is Hazama. Those are the explicit ones in the Gemara, right? One in Ksuvis and the other, the Tosefta and the Gemara. Yeah, have it? Avram, go ahead. So what's he saying?
In general, that you can't have any cases that don't require Asra except for these two exceptions. One basis, the other is Zomim, where it would preclude it from coming because they'd be too scared.
Right. So since you can't abide, I mean, they don't. Either you're going to have these institutions are going to be subject to Misa, right, or they're going to require Hasra, but there's no middle area. So the Torah kind of dropped this extra. It's almost like you can see the cheshbon, you know, the Rabbanu Shalom. We can't really see the Rabbanu Shalom, but you know, we can understand, like, you know, weighing. Well, there's something called Azama. There's something called Mesis. The Rabbanu Shalom of Beis Dino, maybe we're being done, you know. And they we think this is of the weight, the severity of a capital crime, or we'll see in a moment, necessary to protect the system by making it such. But doing so precludes the luxury of the extra, you know, protection provided, you know, in normal capital applications. So the decision is made, yeah, this is a special din. Okay. That's different than saying, you know, that there's no din of there's no patur of shogeg, which is what I was suggesting as a possibility before, right? That is the second possibility. The third possibility, or in light of the third issue, which is that Hasra is part of the mechayiv of the onesh. It's not a din of the implementation of the onesh, and it's not just a way of finding out, even berachok, right, whether or not he's a mezid or a shogeg. But what we're saying now is the possibility that really his not the hasra, but the tzira for the hasra to the ma'isa avera and his repudiation of the hasra, right, is part of the. It's a different way to do the avera. It's part of the chomer ma'isa avera. So how are you going to explain ein zomim and mesis? Right, it sounds like it's a basic prerequisite. And if it was just an added shmira in the implementation of Mises Bezdin, and you decided, well, either there's not going to be Mises Bezdin, right, or there's not going to be Hasra protection in this case, no. But if there is no Hasra of any sort, not the Iyum doesn't count, let's say, or even if it did, right, maybe the Hitzel Atzma Lemisa and the Kabbalah and Tokhtei Dibur, maybe all these are additional requirements for the Chumra Soavera aspect of the Hasra. So then the question is, how are you going to, you know, just drop that requirement? Right. So the answer may very well be, that's going to be more difficult to explain. The answer may very well be one of two approaches. One is that maybe when it comes to Ein Zomim and Mesis, right, the level of Mered or Lahachis or Chumra, Chumras Maisa Beira, is already there by virtue of what it is that you're doing. In other words, what you're doing is particularly offensive. So that you don't need to build it in the way that you're doing it, right? But intrinsically, what you're doing already delivers the proper level of Chumras Beira that justifies the Onesh. It sounds a little like that in? The Sefer Chinuch. Yeah, correct. Anybody have language? The Sefer Chinuch in Tuf, what is it, Tuf Samach Dalet? Tav samach beis? Oh, okay. You have it there?
Yeah,
Shlomo, go ahead. One more time? Yeah. So he's saying the chomer hadavar itzav, not saying, you know, ain't done in, you know, it's a yafshar. Okay. Well, why would it be yafshar if possible, possibly in basis? The Rambam Pirshim Shnaya seems to say it's a yafshar, right? Why? I'm saying, what in Adam Zomim, we know why it's Yafshar. That's how they're reading the Gemara, right? Why is it Yafshar and Mesis? We'll get that into more in a second. But because you want to trap the guy, and if you require Hasra, then, you know, we'll discuss in a minute whether entrapment, Hakmana, is inconsistent with Hasra. But the Chinuch is saying, B'pnei Chomer Adavar, not because it's impossible, and not because implicitly it's there, right? What do you say about Azama?
Right,
keep going. Yeah. So Barov Rasan of Mesis is understandable. What a despicable character. Right? Meaning he's like the Nachash, right? The Nachash was the first Mesis. He also didn't get any Hana. It wasn't like, you know, that it was an understandable, you know, thing. It's a kind of an intrinsic, the area of activity, right, which is, of course, Avodah Zarah, is a particularly charged one. But more importantly, you know, you want to be over to Avodah Zarah, that's bad enough. You want to, you know, corrupt, you know, somebody else, right, there's nothing in it for you. And it's just, you know, the destruction of another person's spiritual life.
Well, the Gamet thinks there's something in it.
What?
The Gamet thinks that there's something in it for him if he thinks he gets Kira points.
What does he think?
If he thinks he gets, like, points for his Avodah Zarah for bringing...
Oh, okay. I mean... okay. But the point is that he... you know, we're particularly offended by his behavior. Let me say it that way. And as such... You know, that's a chomer. What about Azama? You would have picked Azama like Mesis to be so chomer. So, what do you think?
And I think you mentioned before that's a threat to the system, so it would make sense that it's. I don't know if it's as worse as a Mesis, but it's.
Right. The answer is again, we probably wouldn't have picked it, but in retrospect, certainly the way the Chinuch is presenting it, I think that the idea is, I've added just as an explanation, I don't know if he means as part of it, that Hazama is a particularly cynical and therefore dastardly Avera. Number one is, again, Ma'ariv Bariv Eino Shalo. Like, you know, why is he doing this? It's corrupting somebody else's life or destroying somebody. It's like, you know, you're lobbing a grenade into somebody else's life in both cases. You know, and, okay, you know, Ellie wants to find some, you know, justification for these people, but... what's that?
Maybe I shouldn't be doing
this. Yeah. Do you only want to defend the Mesis, or you want to defend the Eid Zomim too? That's what I want to know.
I'm always, like, you know, free love.
You and anybody.
I'll bet everyone I can.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, it's we'll say it's a measure of his being machmir in you know, the haftar rach kamocha. But all right. But the problem here is that it's a little bit of at the expense of the victims. Yeah. Right.
The moral relativism of the 21st century.
What's that?
The moral relativism of the 21st century.
Is right? It's seeping in even here. Khalilah.
I've never been accused in the past
of that. Of moral relativism being an impact by your environment.
Yeah.
Okay, that's something that we can all work on and fortify each other from. So, and that's what we're here to do, really. So, basically, what I've suggested in the past is, number one, again, it's just no... you know, it's a particularly dastardly thing. But more than that, I was suggesting, I don't know if the Chinuch accepts this, that in a way you're just like cynically, you know, exploiting your cheskas kashrus, you know, to destroy. You're utilizing something which is an amazing ideal, and you know, you're corrupting it, perverting it, in a way. Anyways, if you take the view, certainly sounds like what he's saying is that there's a substitution that can, you could substitute a more chomor, like a avera, Einam Zomim and Mesis, right, for the requirement of Asra. If Asra was a din in the B'Shaftu Eda V'Yitzilo Eda, it would be problematic to say that. Because part of the issue here is whether or not this person is, you know, in general there's a bit of a tricky issue, especially in the case of Mesis, but in general, and that is, if we really think the Hasra is an element, you know, in the, you know, in just protection, you know, maybe we got it wrong. So on the off chance that maybe we got it wrong, right, there is no Chomer Aveira. So it sounds like we really, really think that the guy's an Eitzomim, and we really, really think that he's a Mesis. That's not really our suffix here. The question is, do we need the added level of violating B'chomra, you know, where he knows that you know that he knows, right? And the answer is, for the Chinuch, no. These are just intrinsically offensive. They have this already without the Hasra, because it's in the nature of what these things are that they're particularly, you know, implacably, as I say, offensive. But I think that there's another perspective as well. And this is what the Rav suggested about Eid Zomim, and I think one could expand it to other cases as well. And that is, yeah.
Oh, I found the Chenech on Shlola Eid B'Sheker.
Yeah,
so
go ahead.
Says,
well, that's pretty small.
Kol Diveribos Kenei Adam Mispa'alim Be'Eid HaSanashim Im Kein Eid HaSheker Siba L'Chorban HaYishuv.
Yeah. It's a korban. It's that's where I got the idea that the chinuch really thinks that it's that the institution in a way is what is, you know, what contributes to the offensive nature of this offense. So the other alternative in terms of Edom Zomim specifically we'll start with is what the Rav suggested, and he suggested this in the name of his father for reading. No, the Rambam in Hilchos Eidos Halacha Perek Chaf Halacha Dalet. Okay, what does the Rambam say in Perek Chaf Halacha Dalet? Noah? Of Hilchos Eidos? We don't make. No? Perek Chaf Halacha Dalet? Yeah, go ahead. Wow. Can you read that part slowly again? Yeah. Whew. Brutal, right? Meaning, there's a very difficult Rambam here, right? The Rambam equates three different things, namely, no shogeg, right? Ein bo maisa, and ein bo hasra. Okay, that is a very challenging Rambam. So, the Nosa Kalim discussed this, of course. There are like three issues to think about here. Number one, it sounds like the Rambam thinks that there's no shogeg in Edom Zomim, which, you know, relates to our discussion of, you know, the Maariv Chayis and the citation of the Tumim and the Ritva about the Iyum, right? There's, sounds like there's nothing. Seems to raise the possibility that even shogeg might really be chayiv. Right? In other words, a kind of Omer Mutter doesn't apply in this particular case. What have you thought? You're allowed to give false testimony, and Halacha doesn't care whether you give false testimony, and, you know, as a result, this guy goes to the electric chair. Right? Okay. All this is reflected by lack of Hasra. What does Ein Bo Maisa, in particular, have to do with Ein Bo Hasra? So there are three types of questions. One is people ask, the Nosa Kalim ask, from the Sugya, in Ksuvas. Isaac, it sounds that way in Ksuvas, that that's what's going on? How does it sound in Ksuvas on Lama Gimel? That's where the Gemara says that there's no Hasra Bahazama. How does it sound?
An embarrassing
question. could be exercise a kasuv. Definitely the Gemara is playing with the EF Shar, right? Yeah, read the line just quickly. Shaka Pataria? Yeah, when the Gemara considers the what Lama Gimel Lama Aleph, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Except for they can't get Malkus. Sounds like he thinks that they should be subject to Hasra, right? And there is, I should mention, a Deya in Yerushalmi, in Ksubis, I think it's Hey Dalid, or Dalid Hey, sorry. Hey Dalid or Dalid Hey? I'm sorry, probably Dalid Hey, where you do require Hasra for Hazam. Okay, keep going. Yeah, so that's a practical point, that there's no Hasra, right? Or you could be read as a practical point. We'll see in a moment. What it doesn't answer is, so good, fine, there's no Hasra in Edom Zomim, there's no Lamaisa way to do it, so maybe there should be no Misa. How does that tell you? That's where the Ramah and others say, oh, ain't done in Afshar, Mishi Afshar. But then you have to assume that Hasra is like this added layer of protection. It's not something core and fundamental, if you read it that way, right? It's that, you know, there's an additional layer of protection. We're not going to give up, you know, the protection of society for the extra layer of protection of the likely murderer. Okay, that's one way to read it, anyway. Keep going. Yeah. So what's he saying there? Not that it's impossible, probably, not that it's impossible pragmatically, but it doesn't fit with the din of kashas amlas al sachiv, because there's an extra element there, right? Namely, a lack of hasra, right? And therefore, there's no hasra. Strange, very strange Gemara. If you were just to read the Gemara kipshuto without any other agenda, we do have an agenda, but not a bad agenda. I mean, hopefully, an agenda based on, you know, a larger or wider, broader understanding of these Gemaras. But if you just read the Gemara Kipshuto, it sounds like these are two pragmatic reasons why there's no Hazam. One is because you can't implement it without jeopardizing the Chiyuv Misa, and the other one is because it generates an imbalance between the Maisa Avera. It disrupts, in other words, internally, the din of Kashazam Lasos La'achiv. Right? Correct? So how does the first question in the Rambam is like, how does the Rambam... What does the Rambam do with the Gemara in Ksuvos, which sounds like in principle it should be, meaning we do care about Shogeg and Mezid, A, even though it's still the same Lav Shem B'Maisa, right? If you need Maisa as a prerequisite for Hasra, why did the Gemara say that? So in a way, that last point is something that the Nosa Kalim and the Ravid pick up on. What does the Ravid say here? Perakaf Alachadal? Who's reading it? Isaac? Go ahead. Yeah. So what is that? What's he saying?
Saying he doesn't like the Ram's reason, and if it were the reason, then the God should also not.
Why? Because it's Ema Maisa. So the question from Agadeif is zeroing in on that point. Oh. So what does the Kesav Mishnah say about that? Not here. Right? Not here, right? In Hilchos Avodah Zarah? Or does he say it here also, I don't remember? What does the Rambam actually say about Megadev? Josh?
It's very confusing because he still says Adim, Megadev, and the Kesem Mishnah is Megadev. So the absence of the word Hasra implies that
So the Kesa Mishnah in Perek Beis, Hilchos Avodah Zarah, what is it, Halacha? What is it, Tess, right? Actually says, in Ochanami, according to the Rama, Megadev doesn't require Hasra. Oh, he says it here too, okay. Good. You have a line? Go ahead. Okay, very good. So now the question is, what are you going to do with, you know, with other things? Like, what about Mekalel? Right? Mekalel is even on the list. We already talked about the fact that there's a list, right? Lav Sheba Maisei Lokan Olav Chutz, me. Me what? What is it? Mm-hmm. Maymer, right? Maymer, Mekalel, and Mevarchas Hashem. Mevarchas Hashem is Megadev. Right? So they're Lav She'en, but that's why the Ravid zeroed in on it. The Ravid said, oh, a Lav She'en B'maisa doesn't require Hasra. What about Megadev? So the Ravid assumes Megadev for sure requires Hasra. The Kesa Mishnah's diuk is that the Ram really holds in Achanami. Wow. Pretty exciting. So let's look at Mevarchas Hashem, right? So look at let's look at Mekalel. What does the Ram hold about Mekalel? Perk Chavav, what is it? Sanhedrin, go ahead. Yeah, you have a line? What is it, Chavav Dalet or something? Yeah, go ahead. So it's not true that all Lav Shem B'maisas, according to the Rambam, do not require Hasra. There are those who are even challenged the Kesavish's Diuk on Megadev as well. Right? You have a line or not?
In a lokach yisrael b'fnei eden kishar kol chayev elavin, aval in lo haisa sham hasra osha kilo below shame below kinoi kion shamar aru ploni osha haisa.
Those are others. Those are Megadev fishes, right? Yeah. So the Rambam is pretty clear when it comes to Mekalel that there is a requirement of hasra. Okay. So what is going on? What about the Rambam in... is this the only time the Rambam states this halacha of Eid Zomim doesn't require Hasra? He also has it earlier, right? Anybody have that? Perek Yud Ches, halacha Dalid. We should look at that. Doesn't help us much, but it's always important just to have tried. What does he say there? Yud Ches Dalid? Go ahead. Yosef, if you have it.
Which...
Eidus. You know where it should be. There he just says, Eidim Zomim Ein Tzrichin Hasra. Okay. In Perek Chaf Halacha Dalid, he's associating it with no shogeg and lav shem b'maisa. Oh. So the Rav thought that the pshat, the Rav said in the name of his father actually, that the pshat in the Rambam is as follows. The Rambam is not telling you that a lav shem b'maisa doesn't require asra. What he's really telling you is that in Eid Zomim, the maisa veira is not the sheker. Indeed, the maisa veira alone would not have the capacity to be mechayev you. Because, as we noted, number one, it's kasha zaman velo kasha rasa. He didn't do anything in the end. We caught it in time. Number two, bigger point, is that Eid Zomim is chidishu shechid shetorah, right? My chazis is samchas ahai, smoke ahai. He didn't add this, but I'll add it. Or maybe he did when he originally said it, but when I heard the Rav say, he didn't add it. But b'myuchad, especially according to the Rambam, who, unlike the Ramban, who at least, right, does have that very strong formulation that, you know, if you're going to equate Gilatim Sanef, Sharaktimus, Chilaltim is the Shabbos, Raktim Sanef. It's good that I'm back to my norm. Chilaltim is the Shabbos, Raktim Sanefesh with a regular objective. My Savera, says the Ramban. So, but we could say is that Hazama works because it turns the Eidim Zomim into Nidonim. But there's a lot of indication in the Rambam that the Rambam really thinks that the line between Hazama and Akhasha is very blurred. So even though we don't paskin like Rava, because it's one of the Yal Kagams, that Eid Zomim, you know, Bekan Lalbo Nifsal, right? And even if we don't, even if we accept what Tosa says, as I mentioned, that even you know, according to Rava, there's a certain consistency that is required. So for sure there'll be psul edus, right? Not just the onesh. We're not going to kill him, or give him malchus, or punish him, you know, and say that he can come to court the next day. Not after the misa, but after the malchus or the other punishment, and be a kosher, you know, an eidud who benefits from because it's kosherous. We're not going to say that. But nonetheless, in the end of the day, that's part of the consistency. In the end of the day, we really believe that, objectively, we're not sure whether there's a Maisa Sheker. So either Maisa Sheker is insufficient to be Mechayev you, or we're not even 100% certain enough that there is a Maisa Sheker. So what is Eid Zomeim? The answer is Eid Zomeim is a shame. It's a Hagdara. It's a Mamad. It's a status. Even according to Abaya, which is where the Ram Paskins and Yalka Gam, of course, it's Lamafreya who nifsal. Good. Right? That just means we're being, just like the Bali Tosus were saying, that even Rava is going to be consistent. Anybody have that line in Tosus I keep quoting? Anybody seen it? You have it? I keep quoting it. I should just know that I'm not making it up. Yeah? Go ahead. Are you getting it? Okay. So just as Rava will agree, right, that there should be some measure of consistency in applying this status, even though it is a status, and it's only Mekano Labon, if so. But we're still going to say that it's a psul. The Kasha and the answer. What's the Kasha? Go ahead. So what are you reading?
This is
Chav Tosan Sanhedrin. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm a Rava, Ibis Mekasha Si, by that case, Kasha, my Nakhla Mina, Kim and Dama Rava, Mekano Labon, and if so, and I'm a Kaila Lomar, and I'm a Idkosh, Idkosh.
Okay, go ahead. What they in Rever Lechatzoin? Does he only have that above a comma, maybe?
No, I think it might be in the second one.
How do you know there's a psul at all? It might be more explicit in Tosis and in Bava Kamma.
Yeah. In
what?
In
no, in Bava Kamma, in Ruba. Was it Ayin Gimel and Aleph? Ayin Beis on Beis? I thought it was a long Tosis with the long... Just get that line very quick because I just don't want to spend too much time on this. One second.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You have it?
I have one Bava Kamma.
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, good. Say it slower. That's the line. Yeah. This is what Ein.
It's Ein Beis und Beis.
Ein Beis und Beis. Okay. Slow. Tema.
Same line in Rava. So in the Chavo and Mishas Kedusha Beila, in Hakshos Minave Dimiha Dimehemne Mehamazim in the Postam. Name it in the Chavo.
How do you know it's a psul at all? Yeah. The Torah only really, if it's a Chiddush, a Torah, and the Torah only said Vasisim Lo Kashas Amar Lasos Lo Akiv.
Postes are Rashi in
Sanhedrin. Okay. Yeah. No, I do this one. Yeah. Go ahead.
So name it in the Chavo Ruya El Chiddush of Vasisim Lo Kashas Amar. Well, in if someone divide, they came into Meshamim Mamam Bnei Ragin, Kosher in someone divide Mehemne Rakona Bechatzel.
So that's within Rava. Yeah. So the point is that the Rambam, you know, took it a step further. Rambam said, you know, the Ein L'chatzayin means that, you know, if you're going to treat him like a like an Avarian, right, then you can't split between, you know, you can't give him punishment and then you know, he'll retain his kashrus l'edus. So if the Rambam really means that an Eid Zomeim, there's a din of Eid Zomeim. Eid Zomeim is an institution. It's not an objective Maisa Aveira. Either as a Maisa Aveira, it's not sufficiently Chamur, per se, or there may not even be a Maisa Aveira because we're not 100% sure. It's really Treyu Trey on a certain level. So what the Rambam meant, this is Ramosha Soloveitchik's shot in the Rambam, is that there is, and he didn't mean Lav Shem B'Maisa, the din of Lav Shem B'Maisa ain't Lokin Olam. What he meant was, here, the Maisa is not the Mechayiv. There is a Maisa, but it's not the Mechayiv. Right? And therefore, the normal way of defining Shogeg and Mezid, right, and the requirement of Hasra are different. What does Hasra have to do with the fact that there's no Maisa HaMechayiv, but rather a shame Eidzomeim? The answer is, if we take the view that Hasra is, you know, either technically a way of establishing Shogeg or Mezid, so then we could say what we said. In other words, maybe, then you'd have to say, well, even Shogeg and Eidzomeim is Chayiv. Right? More to the point, if it's really a din in Bitzua, Onesh Bezdin, then all this doesn't make any sense at all. Who cares the nature or character of the offense? The issue more is, Lemaisa, you know, you're going to get the death penalty, you're going to get Malkus, we need to impose the protections, unless, again, you just don't have that ability based on the Gemara. But if you take the view that Hasra typically integrates into the Maisa Veira and adds Chomer HaDavar, right, then what you might say is, yeah, that is a requirement when the Maisa is the Mechayim. So then we require that the Maisa be done, you know, and be characterized as a Maisa Mered or Lahachis or Mumrius as well. But in Eidim Zomim, where the Maisa is not the Mechayiv, the Shem Eid Zomim doesn't require Hasra. So now in light of that, the Kesef Mishnah's Ha'ara about Megadev is particularly interesting. Well, number one, you don't have to. You could say Megadev is just a problem of Lav Shem Ha'maisa. Certainly Mekalel is just a problem of Lav Shem Ha'maisa, which is Lo Kanala. Right? There's no indication that in Mekalel it's the Gavra HaMekalel, you know, that he, you know, rather than what he did. What about Megadev? Interesting. Interesting question. But getting back to, we'll follow up a little more on Hazama later, but what about Mesis? In light of this? So again, that you can't have Mesis, if it's a, you know, done in Efshar Miyeshi, Efshar, like it sounds like in Pirshim Mishnayis, fine. But remember, that Pirshim Mishnayis, the Rambam also said that there are only two cases that don't require Hasra. Edim Zomim and Hazama. And explicitly in the Gemara, I'm sorry, Mesis and Edim Zomim. So the explicitly in the Gemara, that's the case. As we'll see, in Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam seems to have expanded the cases where there's no Hasra. So again, we talked about the Chinuch, like, who says both Eidim Zomim and Mesis is because of the Chomer HaDavar. Is it possible that we can apply the same kind of thinking to Mesis that we applied to Hazama? In other words, Mesis is an effort. Mesis is a status of Rishus. Even though what he did didn't succeed. It's only an effort. So is it possible to suggest that the reason that Mesis is treated as he... Remember, Mesis comes with a whole, you know, package. Right? Because Lo Tachmal Alav doesn't apply to Mesis. Ein Hopchin... Right, Bezchusa. There's a little bit of a catch-22 there, right? Because isn't the whole point to figure out maybe he really isn't a Mesis? Right? It sounds like, you know, we're treating Mesis not as a Maisa Veira, once again, but as a certain status of the Gavra. We'll get to it in a second. Maybe there is some Hasra, even in Mesis. Maybe not the formalistic type, but the practical type. Is that possible? We'll get that in just a second. But let me just get on the record for the moment. Once we're going this route, that Hasra is a din in the way that you violate the Avera, it's a din of the Chumras, Maisa Avera, but maybe if the Maisa is not the Mechayiv, but the shame, or the Talich, or whatever it is, the din, that there's no din of Hasra, once we're going that route, so maybe there are cases beyond Mesis and Azama. So the next natural application is the Dalid Tzrichin Hakraza. So I think, did you tell me that the Rav said that also? You saw somewhere? No? Or somebody mentioned to me. So that I'm not, but because of that reason. Yeah, so we'll get to Moshe Shemra in a minute. So basically, Arba Tzrichin Hakraza, that's a sugya in Sanhedrin Da Peites, right? Because the Torah uses the expression, Kol Yisrael Yishmu V'yiro V'lo Yazidu an Od, or something like it, in these four contexts, right? It stands out in that cluster of parshios, just those two parshios. And the Gemara said, yeah, stands out. It's a pattern. These require achraza. The question is, why do they require achraza? Ah. So the Ramban al Torah in Parshas, what is it? Kiteitze, I think, right? Who saw the Ramban al Torah? I thought you guys were ahead of the Barbacoa. Yeah. What? Yeah, that's good. Go ahead. Yeah. But the loud and clear so we can all hear. What about Ben Sorer? And Ben Sorer? Keep going where you were. Go ahead. You're in the middle of speaking about Nasus, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, so what's he saying about Ben Sorer? I mean, what the Ramban is trying to say in all four cases is that you need achraza because, if you have to sum it up. Well, the Ramban has a pragmatic element to all this. The common denominator in the most minimalist way is to say that the onesh maves in these cases, in each of these cases, is mechudash. It appears that the onesh is out of proportion to the crime. Right? Eidzomein, he didn't succeed. Right? Mesis, he didn't succeed. He tried, it was dastardly. Right? But, he was a failure. Zaken Mamre, right? So he has too much conviction. Again, my view on Zaken Mamre, and I don't think the Ramban disagrees, he's just trying to explain it in this particular case, is much harsher than that. Not that he's an admirable, idealist, but, he's a danger to the system, and therefore we kill him. But at a certain point, when the system itself requires that he relent for the sake of the bigger picture, so at that point, it's revealed that it's not merely his conviction, but also his ego. He basically is established saying that he's bigger than the system. The Torah says at a certain point he should be relenting, not on his argument, but at least on implementing as a psak his argument. He can continue to go into the Beis Medrash and bring rayas and be as impassioned as he wants. There's no problem of that in Zaken Mamre. Problem is that the Torah says, at this point, we go by rove or whatever. And by refusing to do that, it kind of reflects, not that he is an unbelievable idealist, we admire him so much, but, he's just a threat to the, he's a rodef to the system, but that really, at that point, the Gleimilsa, that he is an egomaniacal, dangerous man, because the system tells him, better that people eat chalev under these conditions, right, then there'd be disunity or that the procedures that allow for decision making be jeopardized. So if he doesn't respect that, he doesn't respect the system, and then it turns out that he, as I say, is driven by ego. And that doesn't mean he knows it, but it's still true. That's when he looks in the mirror, he might still see, a crusading, idealist. But if he were, that's because his mirror is a little bit, tinted. And if he would really be seeing clearly, he would be seeing what the rest of us are seeing, and that is that, he's you know, enjoying being a maverick. And it's not just that he's not a team player. He's defying the system in a very irresponsible manner. So what Ramban says, and Ben Sorimbo, right? He's a little kid, right? He's Nidon al Shem Sofo. And what terrible thing did he even do as a little kid? A little too much wine, Zolel v'Soveh, a little too much Basar, hey, a little bit Chutzpedik, right? Nidon al Shem Sofo. So the Ramban basically wants to say, we need Klal Yisrael to understand these dinim. A, to know that there's a Chiv Misa, even though they're out of whack. B, kind of, to understand, you know, why there can be this Chiv Misa, despite the fact that it's disproportionate. So how does Ramban really end up? That it's a deterrent, maybe. It sounds a little bit like that. All these cases are kind of deterrent, right? But even if you just take it at that, the Misa Beira is not the Mechayev in these cases. It's part of the story, but it isn't the full story. But what you might do is take it even a step further than the Ramban, and there's some evidence in some of the other Mepharshim, and that is to say that all these four, it's not just the Torah's deterrent, not the Maisa Avera, but it's the Torah's Rishus HaGavra. You kill these people for who they are. Part of what they did defines them as who they are. But these people get a death penalty because of the shame Eid Zomim, because of the shame Ben Sora Omore, because of the shame Mesis, right? Because of the shame Zakein Mamre. So what's fascinating is that even though, you know, it's not explicit, there's very strong evidence, which we're going to discuss, that each of these four, well, we know about Azama and Mesis already, but even Zakein Mamre and Ben Sora Omore, and then maybe other things like it. What about Rodef, right? And so on. A few other examples. What about Motzi Shemra? So there's discussion in all these. There are Rishonim who think that some of these do not require Hasra, or at least they don't require full Hasra. So why? With this Yisod, that Hasra is, you know, not just a prerequisite, you know, to apply the irrevocable chamor misa, right? But that it's a shear in the maisa vera, which is which triggers the chi of misa. That's only true when the maisa vera does that. When the din or the shame itself is mechayiv, then hasra perhaps has no place. So we'll follow through a little bit more with hazama when we continue Sunday, but mostly. With Sunday, we'll discuss Mesis. Again, Mesis requires Hachmana. Is the Hachmana what eliminates the Hasra? Right? Practically, can you have Hachmana and Hasra at the same time? Discussion of the Rashi and Tosas. Right? How does, the process of Mesis, where the would-be victim, the Nisas, turns to the Mesis and says, like, you know, do you really understand what you're doing here? How does that fit into the lack of Hasra? Is that maybe a shiur in establishing how committed he is as a Mesis? In other words, we'll talk about Mesis. We'll talk a little more about Azama, not so much more. And we'll try to talk about at least Zakein Mamre and Ben Sora More and some of the other cases. And then we'll double back. I still want to speak about Hasra Safek. A little bit more about Hasral Yedei Edim and those. But we'll try to finish up as much as we can in the next couple of shiurim, and then we'll go on to the next topics. I'll stop.